A few years ago, my wife, Julie's grandmother, died. And her mom wanted me to say a few words at the funeral. And why she wanted me, I guess I was the only male, well, not necessarily her child, but son-in-law that would actually get up there and actually say a few words. But she wanted me to get up there and say some words, and the only thing that I can think of, well, I did turn to a few scriptures, but the one that really stuck out in my mind was Proverbs 31. And I know a lot of ministers sometimes use the scriptures of the passages of the virtuous woman or the Proverbs 31 woman. And so I use those verses to try to describe some of the attributes that Julie's grandmother had. And then about a month ago, we had a men's club in Greensboro, and Dr. Schwartz wanted us to take the Proverbs 31 woman verses and to discuss them. And as I delve into those scriptures, you know, to me it wasn't just talking to women. And, you know, a woman can strive to look at these verses and try to attain to the Proverbs 31 woman. But how about us as a church? How about us as men? Can we look at these verses and say, you know, I can glean something from some of these verses? And we will not go over all these verses, but I want to take just a few of them, or just a couple, especially Proverbs 31, 10 through 13. And we will see today how important it is to seek after wool and flax. Now, if you haven't turned there already, let's turn to Proverbs 31 and verse 10. Proverbs 31 and verse 10 says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." Now the question is asked, who can find a virtuous woman? What does it mean to be virtuous? The pulpit commentary says the expression combines the ideas of moral goodness and bodily vigor and activity. It is useless to try to fix the character upon any particular person. The representation is that of an ideal woman, the perfect housewife, the chaste helpmate of her husband, upright, God-fearing, economical, and wise. And when you look up the word in the dictionary, it means conforming to moral or ethical principles, morally excellent and upright. Now, like I said before, a woman can strive to attain these principles. But how about us men? How about us teens? How about us as a church? We have a description of a woman that is said to be the ideal woman, the perfect housewife, morally excellent. We are this woman. Revelation 12 and verse 1. You don't have to turn there. You all know these verses. It says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being a child, cried, prevailing in birth and pain to be delivered." And you go on down and it says, "And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne." Verse 6 says, "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her for 1,260 days." Verse 14 says, "And there was given to the woman two wings of a great eagle." Now we see that the woman represents the church. We have physical Israel and we have spiritual Israel, referring to us as that woman. Paul refers to this woman in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, as a pure virgin that is espoused to one husband, which is Jesus Christ. Now, in Proverbs 31 and verse 10, it says, "For her price is far above rubies," as Mr. Cox alluded to just a moment ago about. You think about what was her price. What is our price? To drive home more clearly that we are this woman, we are told that this woman has a price that is far above rubies. We just kept the Passover. How much was that worth? First Peter 1 and verse 18. First Peter 1. Verse 18 says, knowing that you were redeemed, not with corruptible things, with silver or gold, from your vain manner of life, handed down from your fathers, but with the precious blood, as a lamb without spot, even the blood of Christ. We were bought, brethren, making our price far above rubies. That price was the precious blood of Christ. And in Hebrews 9, we are told that through that blood, our conscience can be cleansed from dead works to serve the living God. Look at what Christ went through, as Mr. Cox brought out in Isaiah 53 about Him being bruised. Everything that He went through, His life. You know, it becomes a lifetime of growing and overcoming for us. We just kept 7 days that drives home the fact that as we strove and struggled not to eat that little piece of leaven, we see how hard it is to get sin out of our lives. But we not like the world. You know, the world thinks that, you know, you can't be perfect, you can't overcome sin, that Christ did it all for us. But we see that through the example of Christ, Christ showed us that as in the form of a human being, shows that it is possible to live a life without sin. Even though we were born in sin, we see how hard it is, but we do know that it is possible, and we strive for that each and every day. Christ came to show us that it can be done. So how do we, as this Proverbs 31 woman that is worth the blood of Christ, serve God as Christ showed us? Christ did His part. He came and showed us, as Mr. Cox brought out, His whole life, His whole burnt offering was about serving the Father. How can we? All right, let's look at Proverbs 31 and verse 13. We see that she gives us a little inkling as to what we can do. It says, she seeks wool and flax, and works willingly with her hands. What can we learn from this verse? We have established a link as to the question of who she would be referring to. Let's look at the second word, seeks. Seeks comes from the Hebrew word derash, and it means to tread or frequent. Usually to follow for pursuit or search. By implication, to seek or ask, specifically to worship. Isn't one of our memory verses to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? The woman, or the church, is the only entity on this entire planet that worships God. Have you ever thought about that? We are referred to as true worshipers. John 4 and verse 21. Mr. Kelly went over this yesterday. And I'll cover some more scriptures that he covered yesterday. John 4 and verse 21 says, Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you know not. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such does the Father seek to be worshipers. To be His worshipers. God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. You know, God takes something physical and shows us how to spiritually worship Him, as we have done in the last 7 days. We try to do without leaven, but yet we see the true meaning of it, to put leaven, to put sin out of our lives. We seek to worship God in this way. Our very lives revolve around the fact that we strive to do away with sin. As we were told just a moment ago, we strive to live our lives as Christ did. Each and every day of our lives, we pray not only in the morning, we don't pray just at night, we pray all day long. Our minds should be fixed on God at all times. every aspect of our lives should be doing God's business, which is overcoming. We're told to seek what? What does this woman seek after? It says she seeks after wool and flax. Wool was used primarily for use in material that were used as an outer garment. It was taken from the sheep and then spun into thread in which a garment was made. As an outer garment, it is the one thing that people see. Christ gave us the example of serving. It's the one thing that you can't hide. When you wear our suits to church, it's the one thing that we see. And that's why we should strive to wear the best that we can. But on a different aspect, is the one thing that everyone sees is our service. Let's turn to Titus 3 and verse 14. Titus 3 and verse 14. It says, "And let our people also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they may not be unfruitful." We're told to maintain good works so that we will not be unfruitful. Good works, or a good work, is emphasized over 70 times in the New Testament. It is the things that others see. It is our outer garment. It's the one thing that people see. And God tells us to put it on for others to see. Why? It's twofold. It is for the glorifying of God, and it is so that we can learn to be like God. Turn over to 1 Peter 2, verses 11 and 12. 1 Peter tells us, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." It's like Mr. Kelly said yesterday. You know, he talked about people see the way we worship God and think, "Well, you're crazy." And yet, one day, they will see our good works as we strive to worship God in the way He tells us to. They will glorify Him. And when we engage in good works, others see that, and they will, and how God is working with us, and they will look to God for the same work in them. Matthew 5 and verse 14 through 16, we know these scriptures. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Call you crazy? Possibly. But they will glorify God which is in heaven." You know, we can see the United States, they're always in times giving out money, especially sometimes when we don't even have it. But yet the world, they rely on that, seems like, that we give millions. And I've often heard of people tell me, "Why do we do that? You know, we go over somewhere and we bomb them and then we give them money to build up." But there is something inherent into man that wants to do good even though we fall on our faces. We as the people of God are not to hide our light. We are not to hide our garment for no one to see. God is seeking those that are true worshipers. True worshipers engage in good deeds or works. We are given a strict warning in Matthew 25 with the sheep and the goats about this. You know, the beginning of the chapter talks about the 10 virgins. It talks about the 5 wise and the 5 unwise. And then as you read on, you talk about it talks about, you know, why are they unwise? because they're not using their talents. You know, God gives us a measure of faith to use. He wants us to grow and to overcome, to use the abilities that He gives us. And then He gives us the example of the sheep and the goats, to go above and beyond, to serve, so that others will glorify God. God gets the credit, not us. It is not what saves us. It is who we are as God's people. Christ came and gave us the example of washing others' feet, as we did over 7 days ago on the Passover evening. Shows us how to serve with humility. We always remember to worship God first. You know, there must be balance in our lives. We can't just serve all the times, just keep serving and keep serving. And we have the example of Mary and Martha to give us that example. The outer garment is not just isolated to the people of God. You know, there are a lot of people in this world that they go out and serve. They give their life of serving every day. It's not just, you know, belongs to the house of God. There has to be something else, and that's the flax. You know, it says the woman seeks after wool and flax. And that's in Proverbs 31:13, as we read just a moment ago. But what is this flax? Well, flax is a food and fiber product, or it's a fiber crop, that is grown in colder regions of the world. Flax is grown for its oil, used as a nutritional supplement, and is an ingredient in many wood finishing products. It's where we get linseed oil. But flax is also grown for its fiber. Julie and I went to a house in Greensboro last year, and it was an older house, and it talked about, you know, what it was like to live on a farm 100, 200 years ago. And the man there had some flax there, and he showed us how they got the fiber out of the flax. Now, flax, if you lived around water, they would take the stalks and they would put it in the water for 7 days, and it would make it soft, or it would help in the breakdown of it. And then they would take the flax and they would put it out in the sun. And in the process of the water and the sun would break down the flax stalks. Now, if you didn't have water, you just laid it out on the ground. And then the flax, over a matter of days, with the help of the dew and the sun, would break it down. Then after that, they would take the flax and they would take it in a scotching board or a scotch. Well, before that, they would take it in this, I don't know what it was called, but they would put it in this board with a chopping block, and they would take it and it would break up the flax stalk from the inside. After that, they would put it on a scotching board and they would continue to beat it with a stick. Just keep beating it. You know, and as you can see, sometimes it's like us sometimes. You know, we wonder how much can we take? How much are you going to beat on me, God? But it's all in the process of making us finer and finer and finer. And it's you see the process of the flax. You know, after the flax was taken in this scotching board, it was raked through combs, and it was made even more finer until you come out to this cotton substance. And then they would spin it into linen, and that's where the linen garment comes from. Let's turn over to Revelation 19 and verse 8. Revelation 19 and verse 8. And it says, "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Brethren, as the woman that will marry Jesus Christ, we are told to make ourselves ready. We are admonished by Jesus Christ to grow in the inner man. We delight in the law of God after the inward man." You know, like Mr. Cox brought out just a moment ago about the fat. You know, the fat was removed from the entrails. The entrails was the inner parts of that animal. You know, as the fat is removed from us, God is able to work with us to change our heart, to be more like Christ and our Father. We just observed 7 days striving to overcome sin, what it represents. But it didn't just end last night. You know, sin is 24/7 thorn in the side. It's always there, whether we want it to or not. It's something that we're striving to overcome. God's holy days teach us this. It's teaching us how to use God's Holy Spirit to win the battle of sin in our lives through being in the vine of Jesus Christ. It says that the woman works willingly with her hands. Willingly in the Hebrew can also be translated pleasure, desire, or valuable thing. We as the people of God delight in the fact that He is working with us. We are the people of God, delight in the fact that, you know, someday we will be like Jesus Christ, that we'll be like God. And we count it all joy when we fall into various trials. We know that the trying of our faith works in us patience. And if we're letting patience have its perfect work, we'll be growing to perfection, to be more complete. The Proverbs 31 woman didn't just take these materials and sit on them. If you read on down through what she does, she takes these materials and she makes garments with them. We are building a garment. You know, like Joseph had a coat of many colors. We're to put on Jesus Christ. And what does that mean, put on Jesus Christ? Well, by seeking after wool and flax, we're seeking His way of life to be changed. Let's take these two pieces of wool and linen and let's put them together. Let's make this garment. Let's turn over to 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. You know, this is verses about wives. If I'll get there. Oh, this one ain't about the wives. It's earlier. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5, it says, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yes, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble." It means a clothing of humility. This is one piece of that linen that we're putting together. It means a clothing of serving, being subject to one another. How many husbands and wives forget these words of serving one another? Do we serve when we just feel like it? You know, First Peter 3, this is about the wives. It says, 1 Peter 3 and verse 4, you know, but we're to be the bride of Christ. We are that woman. So what can we glean from these verses? Verse 4 says, "Let it be the hidden man of the heart, in the corruptible apparel of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, in the sight of God, of great price." Let it be the hidden man of the heart. The inner man that is in each of us. For lack of time, Job 29 and verse 14 says to put on righteousness. Let's assemble this garment even further. Mr. Kelly went over these verses yesterday, but I know that if we read something more than once, we were meant to read it. Colossians 3, verses 9 through 14. Or 9 through 10. It says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his doings, and have put on the new man that is being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him." Verse 12, he says, "Put on, therefore, as God's elect, holy and beloved, a heart of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving each other. If any man have a complaint against any, even as the Lord forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Brethren, as the Proverbs 31 woman, we have a lot to strive for. Let's strive all the more to seek after wool and flax, willingly doing it from the heart. As we practice these things, we will be putting on Christ. He came and gave us the perfect example of being God. He taught His disciples and now He is teaching us through serving, through good deeds, through good works, and both of them together through the writing of His law upon our hearts. We are learning what it means to seek after wool and flax. We will have the total outfit of a woolen and linen garment. In so doing, we will finish this race with something that God will give us. Let's turn over to two more scriptures in conclusion, Revelation 3 and verse 5. Revelation 3 and verse 5, it says, "He that overcomes will be arrayed in white garments, and I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." And over in Revelation 6 and verse 11, it says, "And there was given to them, to each one, a white robe. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little time until their fellow servants also and their brethren, who should be killed even as they were, should have fulfilled their course." Brethren, as this Proverbs 31 woman, as the virtuous woman, we are to be seeking after wool and flax. We are to learn to serve along with changing the heart and the inward man. It is a lifetime of growing and overcoming, but through God's Holy Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life will be accomplished. Let's never stop seeking after wool and flax. In so doing, God will give us the product of wool and flax, white robes.